most people actually moved on there.
Emergency board, Friday, November 16th, 2001, 8:30 a.m. hearing room.
Over the weekend in a different context in preparation for another hearing and noticed a number of counties actually have a 1 year approval period.
You start up.
And it's shorter than the two set by rule. So I think a lot of counties do different things.
Yes, Mr. President, members, the education subcommittee recommends that the emergency board acknowledge receipt of a report of the Saturday
morning Senate Bill 724.
The Department of Education prepared reports
in the hopper for a long time.
And they emphasize
people who have paid to lobby this building have had plenty of time
the technology that they have now that they can actually start to eliminate
existed.
A substantial amount of the paperwork involved.
835 and three people who have had plenty of time to get me to tell me that they didn't
time
like the bill.
It takes to turn around the
issues
program
with the bill.
Surprise attacking report.
When we could have probably been working on amendments.
Schools occurred in April, May 2001.
So that's making me a little bit irritable. Second problem, making me a little bit irritable, is the fact that you keep referring to 12 years.
We're
calling this 4 years is an extension.
And the department plans
to
increase
you don't automatically get 12
participating
unless your extension's been granted.
To approximately 300 by the
end of the year. 8 is a lot different than 12,
at least as far as the new math goes. 2002 school year.
I think there has been
the education subcommittee recommends
issues within the county where
the report.
People have not
and,
always been granted
an
extension willy-nilly, or in this case, would suggest they would be given a free extension, which would extend it to 12 years. So let's talk herring to herring here of 8 years for your extension. Lastly, I don't know if three of you, because I haven't talked to three of you about the bill, have been to places such as Sand Valley or Rouge, Cave Junction. But I don't think the Hyundai plant is going to get located in any of those three areas anytime soon.
The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board allocate $40,000 from the emergency fund to conduct another of the Deschutes County delinquent demonstration project. Secretary of State requested $40,000 of additional funding to conduct the other Deschutes County demonstration project. Specifically,
go down the road just a little bit further
and
find a 1988 total estimated cost of the audit is
$200,000. Some of this cost will be funded by the Secretary of State statewide assessment on the emergency authority. Independent work will be done under contract.
It doesn't do things very nice for my community. It doesn't make
provide
community
data
look
that would otherwise be a Secretary of
and these
State
are areas that
is needed to audit
people
the
want
resources.
To live in.
The subcommittee heard that there
news.
Is also a continuing requirement in statute for regular program performance audit.
So anyway, I think you can sense my frustration. I don't like last
county
minute
juvenile,
attack. I really
in
don't.
County juvenile
I really don't.
This is a likely, this
this
is likely to create
had plenty
new costs for the
to,
other 35 counties as well as Deschutes County.
Concerns, because I'm a pretty easy guy
known.
To work with. I,
the current audit
I think
for the
I am, just around the building.
System may provide reliable data.
I've worked in
moments
with people all the time to make sure people are happy.
If
here we are now at
is not
37,
the Secretary of State
talking about
a
red
hand plan about
so perhaps
the county level audits and the funding for them. And the funding for them and present that to the
that's
next
what
to, subcommittee and recommends approval of this request.
Please vote. We have a question to work with you, and we're going to go back up if any members
hearing none.
Right.
Yes, Senator Fisher.
I just a comment. There's an accurate sense we can get away with somebody doing something.
The Commission for the Blind. The subcommittee recommends the emergency board increase the other funds expenditure limitation from $390,454 with the establishment of four limited duration positions, three FTE to expand the older blind program, with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the limitation and the commencement of the program and direct the Commission and Department of Human Services to jointly report at the June 2002 emergency board meeting if the project has not begun. The 2001 Legislative Assembly approved a budget note for the Department of Human Services that directed the Department to provide Older Americans Act revenue to the Commission for an expansion of the Older Blind Program. The Commission for the Blind requested limitations at the September Emergency Board meeting. The Emergency Board deferred action because several program funding issues are not resolved and encouraged the Department and the Commission to work with the Area Agencies on Aging, primary recipients of Federal Older Americans Act revenue, to resolve funding questions. Since September, the AAA, DHS, and the Commission have met to discuss ways to provide seniors with vision deficits. Services they need to live as independently as possible. This may include the planned purchase of admission services for older blind persons by one or more of the AAAs. In anticipation that the AAAs, DHS, and the Commission reach a mutually agreeable solution, and that the AAAs will purchase services from the Commission, your subcommittee on Human Services.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 725 encourages local governments to apply the land evaluation and site assessment system
Subcommittee
to evaluate certain conditions during periodic review.
Item is approved. Agenda number 5, Administrator. Thank you, Speaker. State Commission on Children and Families. The subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board increase the other funds expenditure limitation by $285,000 for the Children's Ombudsman Program, by $200,000 for a grant from the National Crime Prevention Council to help promote and implement prevention policy and practice in the states. State Commission on Children and Families is statutory authority for the Children's Ombudsman Program. For the past several banning, the Department of Human Services has provided these services by interagency agreement with the Commission. The 2001 legislative assembly considered several bills that would have removed the program from the Commission, but in the end did not change the statute. The Commission now needs expenditure limitation to continue payments to DHS for ombudsman services for the 2001-03 biennium. The Commission also needs expenditure limitation to spend a $200,000 grant that is received from the National Crime Prevention Council,
like the Senate,
a nonprofit educational organization. The Commission was using money this biennium to support workforce to coordinate a comprehensive plan for services to children and families required Senate Bill 555.
The purpose of
Senate
Bill 725
there's no matching fund requirement or any obligation to continue funding after the grant expires.
Planning commissions that will assist them in making reasoned decisions during periodic evaluation of their county comprehensive plans.
The objection,
we suggest to you that when many counties originally adopted their county plans, there was little
experience,
a lack of time, and a shortage of funds.
Department of Human Services. Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board authorize transfers of general fund appropriations and approve increases in other funds
out land that appears
expenditure limitations totaling $3,894,940 in federal funds expenditure limitations totaling $17,795,048 for the Department of Human Services close-up plan for the 99-01 biennium. DHS has identified changes that would bring its prior biennium budget appropriations and expenditure limitations in line with final expenditures. There's no net change in general fund appropriation for DHS as a whole. Major other funds and federal funds increases come from unemployment insurance payments for Jobs Plus services, increased match for local area agencies on aging, directed food stamp program costs, and increased social services block grant resources, and the growth in Older Americans Act expenditures.
The
closeout plan includes several fund shifts that allow DHS to save $5 million in property tax revenues. DHS will indeed carry forward a total of $11.8 million more other and federal funds into the 2001-03 budget period from a combination of these savings, higher child support revenues, and TANF resources. These resources are available to help with DHS's current budget issues. Subcommittee recommends.
And that policy calls for farmland to be protected in large swaths. The least
type
of flexibility that gives the ability to do that.
Department of Human Services recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the Department's financial status. Department of Human Services used to submit the budget rebalance plan 4 times during the biennium. The purpose of plan is to transfer general fund appropriations between programs and to adjust other funds and federal funds expenditure limitations. At this time, because of the projected statewide deficit, DHS is providing a report on its financial status instead of seeking approval of a rebalance plan.
Local
DHS will likely request
system.
Formal approval of a rebalance at a later meeting of the Emergency Board or during a possible special session.
That requires state
in summary, the report indicates that program costs, net savings, are $27.2 million of general fund, or 1.1% higher than the 2001 legislative budget. Two of the main cost drivers are higher caseloads in the Oregon Health Plan and growth in the number of resources of mental illness and community acute care hospitals are ready to move to community-based
and
care facilities.
Major
revenue issues
two of them are lower than expected
tobacco tax revenues, but a more favorable Medicaid match rate. Some combination of management actions now under consideration by the department, along with $48.4 million of special purchase appropriations emergency board earmarked for DHS could be used to cover the reported general fund shortfall. Subcommittee recommends acknowledging the
Lynn County, and not only was Professor Huddleston the co-director of that report, and I may be incorrect about this, you can make some corrections, I believe he also had a hand in developing the LUPA system, and maybe not, if not developing
the LUPA system,
maybe reorganizing it or improving it somewhere, and if you can comment on that.
House Bill 2294 requires DHS to report to each meeting of the emergency board during the 103 interim on the status of the department's reorg.
But he's also here available to answer philosophical and technical questions.
Service delivery areas, SDAs, covering 15 Oregon counties, have begun the implementation phase of the reorganization. According to the DHS timeline, seven other SDAs made up of 14 counties already begun implementation phase by November 1st. The balance of the SDAs are scheduled to begin by January 1, 2002. DHS reports being ahead of schedule for this phase. The 0103 legislatively adopted budget realized a $10 million general fund savings due to the reorganization. Within that amount, $6 million for the reinvested in information systems improvement, staff training. Remaining $4 million in savings came primarily from elimination of positions. The department has abolished 159 positions, reestablished 119 new positions, resulting in a net loss of 40 positions. Staff members and positions were eliminated, having an increased supply for position vacancies within the department. The department, along with an outside contract, was proceeding with a revised cost allocation plan for claiming federal matching funds. Although a final revision of the plan may save the state money, caution is prudent since there is also a risk the plan could end up costing the state additional general fund. The subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Committee. My role here is not to see the parties for or against this bill, but to provide a resource for you to ask questions.
Thank you, sir. Department of Human Services. Subcommittee recommends the emergency board defer action on the department's request to allocate $2,200,000 in a special appropriation emergency board for safety net health plans.
I'm really here.
The 2001 Legislative Assembly made a $2.2 million special appropriation emergency board for safety net health clinics. The DHS budget note directed the department work collaboratively with the Oregon Health Division, the Oregon Primary Care Association, federally qualified health centers, the rural health clinics, method for distributing the $2.2 million to present the proposed distribution to the emergency board. Safety net health clinics provide a variety of health services, and many are located in remote regions of the state, or to serve traditionally underserved populations. Safety net providers care for a substantial number of uninsured persons and do not turn away patients because of inability to pay. DHS complied with a budget note by convening several meetings of the safety net coalition. Compromise and to develop a plan to distribute the funds. The plan is discussed in the department's emergency board request letter. They did a very, very good job in that regard. I was very impressed with the work that they did. All members of the Human Services Subcommittee agree that the safety net health clinics are important and worthy of support. However, the subcommittee recommends the emergency board defer action on their request to allocate the $2.2 million, pending a resolution over our state's overall budget situation. Allocation of the $2.2 million right now might require deeper reductions in programs that are possibly higher legislative priority during a possible special session of the legislature.
The
subcommittee recommends approval. Of the region.
For the last 6 years,
thank you for that clarification, Administrator.
Farmers in the ag industry have been at odds with the development of a new sand and gravel site.
Discussion, yes.
Farmers are concerned about
The concern that I have is that mining I'd like to know that the needs will still be met to keep these clinics going in these rural portions of Oregon, where these folks have very little other options, if any options at all. Are we going to put in risk or endanger the lives of these folks in rural Oregon?
The use of the LISA system,
do they have any continuing ongoing whether or not clinics and resources available to them? Was that discussed?
And then the LISA system,
I guess I defer to staff on that. We didn't get into a lot of discussion. Our understanding was that their existing programs would be able to continue, but some of them would not be able to improve their technical assistance programs or have the additional 20,000 organization direct support. So it would be able to expand, perhaps, respond to increased needs, and that was a concern of our subcommittee.
Mr. Chair and members, I have nothing to add to that. There was not an extensive discussion at all about financial status of rural health clinics. I think the subcommittee noted that every little bit helps. We talked about that, there was not a discussion of the financial status of specific rural health clinics.
One concern that I've got, and that is that was there any way that particularly those in the remotest portions of the state of Oregon, along with rural health care programs, that some portion of the $2.2 million could be allocated at this time to keep those programs open. Otherwise,
Nurse here in the Salem area, and I currently chair the Rural Land Use Advisory Committee. I'm asking you to vote in favor of this bill. Senate Bill 725 is not the answer to the long problems and controversies that currently plague the land use planning system. But it would serve as a good first step in addressing one of the major flaws, both real and perceived, in
and then half of the allocation.
As a member of Oregon Farm Bureau's Land Use Planning Committee, I've heard many comments and anecdotal stories about land that's been disowned in Oregon. With millions of acres disowned in the EFU in the state, essentially all land outside of the urban growth boundary that's not zoned for forest land, it stands to reason that some of this land may not be productive agricultural land. At the same time, we're losing thousands of acres of very productive agricultural land to non-farm
uses. Encouraging and personally items for the board require
counties to utilize the leasing system during periodic review would eventually provide policymakers with the information necessary to evaluate and effectively carry out the farmland zoning component of the Oregon land use planning system.
And especially first-level access to medical care. I don't care what community I went in.
We've all witnessed the results of property owner perception that their land is misowned.
The secondary lands contest that have increasingly popped up the past legislative sessions are but one example.
On the basis of defining and segregating secondary lands between the EFU would address the misowning issue. Unfortunately, in my opinion, secondary lands proposals do nothing more than substitute another set of arbitrary standards in place of the current system.
That they don't have money at all, and then we take the one safety net away from them. I think this is a mistake. I am absolutely objective to this. I have an objection to this, and I will have it if it's tomorrow, because this is the only means that these people have for some health care, and I think
I do have a great deal of experience with land that is correctly zoned in the EFU that is being decimated by non-farm uses. With no distinction made within the EFU zone with regard to the relative productivity and agricultural value of a parcel or area, many non-farm uses are sited on our very best farmland. As an example, Mission Bottom, which is an incredibly productive farming area of 2,000 acres that lies just north of Salem on the Willamette River. World-class soils, abundant water, and the ability to grow almost any agricultural crop is just one of the gems in Oregon agriculture. But in the past few decades, we've lost hundreds of acres to non-farm uses, such as aggregate mines and parks, with many more hundreds of acres slated for conversion with proposals for additional parks, wetlands, bike paths, natural treatment sewage systems, municipal water well fields, and additional aggregate mines in the works. This area is fairly small in size, geographically contained, and within short driving distance of Salem is an excellent example of a system gone awry. We have not been successful in convincing legislature that non-farm uses allowed any exclusive farm use zone or detrimental to agriculture. As this list is permitted and allowed non-farm use in Georgia every session, we have not been successful in making the case that the exclusive farm use zone is rapidly degenerated into the elusive farm use zone. Apparently, the demand to cite non-farm use in the EFU exceeds the collective will to prevent it.
To the end of the biennium.
But we are hopeful.
Mr. Chair,
that if a non-farm use must be cited in the EFU, with the information generated from county mapping of the farm zone utilizing the Leeson method, policies will be drafted to permit decision makers to weigh the relative agricultural value of alternative sites and tighten up policy to protect our very best farmland. Thank you for the opportunity.
Ms. Archer reminded me, these clinics have other sources of revenue.
Any questions from the
committee? But again, this is money that they can use.
Mr. Chair, good morning. My question is for the professor. I'm not completely familiar with the Leeson system or the model. Does this take into account compliance with federal clean air and clean water laws?
Administrator?
time.
Well, it could, Sam Butler. It is a system that is developed and devised and controlled by local people and working with their local issues.
Aye.
The system can be as comprehensive and creative as that group of people want it to be. I think they would help them to develop anything that is uncultural to any kind of federal
sanctions.
Be considered.
Senator Carter?
No.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Messler?
Aye.
Thank you.
Senator Messler?
Aye.
I guess my question, maybe it's from experience and with the Wayne County, where since the model has been established, is in practice, would it be used solely to look at the land, whether it should be zoned with you or whether it's with you or perhaps not used, or with the broader perspective taken in terms of cost effectiveness if we do develop an area that might not be sustainable for development,
to comply with the budget and the administrative report to the emergency board, and enrolled in fully capitated health plan. In its analysis, the Legislative Fiscal Office observed that the reason for the reduction in managed care are varied and complex. However, we noted that the emergency board letter did not provide a thorough discussion linking the proposed strategies to the primary reasons for the decline of managed care enrollment. Nor did it answer many basic related questions. As a result, the Human Services Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report, but also directing the department to work with the Legislative Office and return to
with a
more comprehensive report.
Don't EFU. Not much. For the discussion, viewers explain how the system would evaluate
would we
a section of that, perhaps the movement of putting perhaps growth on less desirable land.
It really was not comprehensive enough to address the primary reason.
The second part,
Mr. Chairman,
thank you very much.
Perhaps you can ask the department to come back with a better plan of the next board meeting.
And open the hearing on House Bill 2967.
Put that in front of the motion.
And ask Speaker Simmons.
Before I make the motion, I just want to know if you've come enough time.
Speaker Simmons, I apologize. You stuck in behind me. I was looking all over the room for you.
maybe staff can...
Would have had you on sooner had I known you were heading up here with us.
Mr. Chair,
you blended right in.
That
mean you're going to be
part of the reason that LFO recommended an April timeline was precisely that.
Thank you, Chair Metzger, members of the committee. We suggested
a January return date. There was concern because they're trying to work on the fund.
And I'll
all
be very brief. I am
a
Muslim.
Come back in April, we'll have more data by then.
Bill,
and also, it allows them to do the work on the House Bill 2519.
The governor's veto, and part of the justification was information from the FW that we have already had authority.
If I could be so bold in terms of this is going to be critical,
and
to
then
us,
come to find out that they did not.
To go into
so
a special session understanding the cost in terms of this agency isn't going to be prepared to come forward with some answers in terms of how we can maintain levels of health care in a reduced budget environment. Then,
since Measure 18,
you know,
the number of closer encounters
to do anything,
and predators
and Ori really nice
have
they're off working on this other thing, but they need to figure out how they can use the existing staff to come back and answer these questions for us in the time frame, which I think is January, whether it be
the children play by the car,
but they need to come back and help us understand
on and on and on
how this can help us meet our objectives. I
don't
think you have
simply allow people the opportunity
to
defend themselves
then it's going to be too late.
Being threatened by an animal. Seekers are not being pursued by hunters.
Chairman,
we're not doing that anymore, and this population has gone up. At an extreme rate.
Hard to plan.
As they lose their fear of humans, they begin to use them in their spray.
I'm going to amend the motion
acknowledge receipt of the report. Are out doing what cougars do.
We acknowledge the receipt of the report.
I don't want to do that in Oregon. This is a very modest
department comes
step
back with a more comprehensive plan
to
increase in enrollment in health plans.
I know that one session of the bill
generated
a little bit of controversy. Line 23, you lost where humans displayed repeated fighting of the animal during
the day. Any discussion on the motion?
That's a typical
so
animal who's not afraid of it anymore will be around.
The motion,
if he's not afraid
my
of you,
understanding of the motion, Mr. Chair,
afraid.
Senator Yee, is that
I spend a lot of
Senator
time
Yee is recommending
North
that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of the report, direct the department to work with LFO, provide a more comprehensive report to the Emergency Board in January 2002.
Came around where my horses were, and I wasn't so compelled to
all in favor. Is there any objection?
I'd just like to say that this bill and any of these bills deal with
around town,
and I'd like to declare that I'm on the board of one of these contracts.
So rather than go on with the entire list,
Senator Farnan,
offer my support
to
the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on developing a Medicaid waiver to expand the Oregon Health Plan. 2001 Legislative Assembly passed House Bill 2519, legislation that directs the Department of Human Services to prepare and submit a Medicaid waiver application to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, known as CMS, in order to expand the Oregon Health Plan and to increase the state program flexibility. House Bill 2519 directs a number of entities to provide input and assist in the Department in its preparation of the waiver application. These entities include the Health Services Commission, a Waiver Application Steering Committee, a Leadership Commission on Healthcare Costs and Trends, and the Insurance Pool Governing Board. All of these groups have met, and some of them numerous times. The central mandate of House Bill 2519 was to craft a waiver proposal that would allow more uninsured persons in Oregon to receive medical benefits. At the same time, this expansion would use budgetary savings generated from reducing benefits to non-categorically eligible persons. This trade-off has been the focus of considerable testimony and discussion. In summary, work on the House Bill 2519 Medicaid waiver has been progressing. However, much work remains to be completed. DSHS intends to seek emergency board approval in January to submit the waiver to CMS. The subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report. And I would just say that sitting on the leadership commission all day, with the Senate president and other members of that committee, we heard a very interesting report. And I'm aware that anytime you have a committee of 19 or 20 people, you have a committee that's large enough. It's going to be very difficult, in my opinion, to come to a conclusion. But a lot of other things that we heard in testimony on Tuesday are that like 90% of the plans in the state do not have the same richness that our Oregon health plan, consisting of dental and vision. So we have a lot of people working for people out there that we would like to reach in this new eligible group that
all agree and we
don't
agree
consensus. Currently, they cannot get dental and vision in any plans that could be available to them. So I think we have a lot of work for the waiver steering committee to do and the Party Human Resources and Leadership Commission. And there's a lot of work to be done.
Senator, your discussions on the report,
encounters had taken place on property where the
how would you expand
the notion that the encounters
at the same time or reducing
there was no adverse testimony in any of the hearings that I
would you move supervise. The
would
you narrow the scope of treatment, thereby treating more people, but treating them with fewer concerns or treatment?
And that all agencies have that expanded coverage. Secondly, or thirdly, we have been deferring a lot of requests this emergency board, but they're because of a commitment that we've made to defer general fund until we have a chance to look at the big picture. This does not fit that category.
I think
this is not a general fund allocation. It is another fund
to
spend for location.
I
think the overriding public necessity and the needs of the public safety of the state, due respect to people fighting for their districts, and I have great respect and appreciate that. I do think the overriding public demand is to move forward on this. And finally, Mr. President,
the bill was to
I do not believe that delaying this is going to be fiscally wise. I cannot believe that the cost will not accelerate if we continue to decelerate the process.
To see, how it worked out.
Further discussion.
If we developed it.
Mr. Chairman,
Eastern Oregon, and the size of the gas plant's operation
we do not disagree with the need for the academy, but on the other hand, the deciding bodies need to be fair, open, and unbiased.
And the
Salem site has been moved around to meet the department's requirements, while the other sides
are
did not have that opportunity.
The
change of site was done without public knowledge and without notice of public meeting. I think we should have a fair process for all the sites who are bidding to be cited have the same opportunity to present their case. Why should one side be presented under the best-case scenario while the other sides are presented under the worst-case scenario? We are just asking for a fair and open and unbiased siding process. I think in the long run, people will lose faith in government if we do things purpose of the bill was to provide. That's what we asked for. And also, the neighborhoods were not given a chance for a hearing. Maybe the neighborhoods do not agree with the siding in their neighborhood. So, neighborhood support, community support is not known. So, I think that all we need to do is be able to present accurate and complete information for the board to make a good decision. So, I think that's the reason for the delay. I think in the long run, the state can benefit economically because other sites, they save the state millions of dollars. In the long run, if the siding is made in a rural community, the benefit is multiple return for investment for the state. If you look at Sweet Home Side, we have unemployment as high as 7.9%, and in Salem it's about 4%, and the wage level average in Sweet Home is $23,000. In Salem, the average wage level is $40,000. So I think a cost-benefit analysis also needs to be made to see where do we get the most savings and where do we get the most return on investment. And in an area where you have high unemployment, there are other associated costs in unemployment benefits, in alcohol and drug use treatment, and maybe domestic violence costs. So all these need to be factored in. So I see there is a need, but I think the process needs to be open and fair. And that's why we ask for a deferral.
They run potatoes or the
discussed this with the agency previously and I'm told that I would be there with a positive and affirmative vote from the recommendation with LFO. And I guess not having the benefit of sitting on the subcommittee yesterday to hear the agency's response to some of the things that Senator Yee has raised, I would ask to see if proper procedures were indeed followed. Because that's very important, and let somebody body that we know that proper procedures were followed.
And some new construction of the 2,500 that we chose to do.
Yes, so we did members, fill out the high-value farmland. The department did follow the statutes that govern the executive branch siting process. They did also follow the gas siting policy.
They're already required to have an ongoing
and part of that, part of the concerns I think that have been raised over the publicness of the process are that the department established a steering committee made up of its constituents. That steering committee isn't a governing body. As such, a lot of the some of the meetings of that steering committee weren't public meetings. That's not to say that some of the members of the committees involved here were not invited to those meetings. There were several of them that they were invited to, and there were also others that they weren't. So that's part of an issue over the public nature of the selection process. The steering committee did meet at times without the entities involved. But they did follow the statute, they did follow the setting policies. In hindsight, were there things that could have been differently, information exchanged more timely, more completely? Yes. That's also true of some of the local jurisdictions. Even the Senator, you would admit there were difficulties getting information exchanged timely even from the local jurisdiction back, so this decision could be made. The process has been elongated by legislative involvement. Last May during session, the department did indicate they were ready to focus on site, and a public hearing was held in ways and means that caused that decision to be delayed and the net to be broadened and more time to be taken. It has been long. It's gone from July until now, October, some 16 months to get to the point we are now.
At the dwelling
a lot of communication has happened. Has it been perfect? No. There was recommendation that we move this process forward because we did not believe that the process was inaccurate. The information was so incomplete that it would change the unanimous decision of the steering committee that we have before the board today.
All of a sudden, while there are a lot of range of operation, maybe the outcome is not likely to be dwelling itself isn't, and that's where they actually have to cite the judgment. So,
That's why we're here.
Chair, thank you.
Three-year mile.
I'd like to hear from the chair of the subcommittee.
More viable for a number of ranches.
I was going to wait to make some comments towards the end, but if you prefer to have
because a lot of them don't see themselves as getting into, you know, a guest ranch.
As I stated yesterday, my dog's not in this fight.
Opportunity would,
and I think it is an issue that there are some communities that
and then
very
I think
strong
last
feelings,
week,
and they were
I know Baker County Planning Commission was looking at the
my concern stems from a couple of things.
The guest ranch bill for our county. One
I've been in
that
local
kind of
government
was,
for quite some time, and I
doubling of
realize that if you want to design a bid, you design it the way you want to create the
what they
type of answer that you want.
In fact,
if you want a certain size dump truck,
they actually meant in
certain color, you design the specifications to meet certain criteria, and there ends up being the product that only meets one criteria. That's the one you want.
It does. We'd be happy to answer
and that question. Appears to be the problem here.
I do know that Representative
the Scapoose site was indicated was that it was a gravel site that had been in litigation for 1 year. And it was interesting to see who's who and listed out there. Then on the Albany or Sweet Home site, it said, well, it has ground pollutants and it needs to be cleaned up and it's going to be very costly. It's interesting that government expects communities to abide by a certain level of standards, but it doesn't expect itself to abide by those same standards. And it creates its own rules as it goes along.
Chairman,
and it says, well, we want to create a site here that state owns.
We have that on
the it's out in the middle of a field of thousands of acres, and we can site this location out there, and there's no problem at all. There's nobody locked up.
I'm going to keep my comments very short today.
Therefore,
bring up additional time for the good senator.
Next to their facility, so
I'm here today
let's
to
locate it out there.
Senate Bill 928. The reason I'm
I guess
here
what really
for
convinced me
reason.
That we made the right decision yesterday
farmers
was
and the ranchers,
a telephone call that I received.
Story to tell.
Late yesterday afternoon from a policeman
different from
in
the rest
Ashland.
Of the state.
He was calling on behalf of the, city chief of police who was out of town.
So far,
but they've been contacted by the agency,
the
lobby, on behalf of
this
election.
That
somehow this process was
going to
delay and it was going
to
defer the agency's priority. The agency somehow was going to be impacted. The agency was somehow going to lobby this and show
I'm also here for a second.
I asked this person, I said, do you know what the
our small business
arguments are pro and con? No. I was just called and told to call you and ask you to support this.
And that's what these folks are doing. These are small business owners.
You know, it's really interesting
money a little differently than the person on Main Street.
My community isn't involved in the siting. I don't have any land in the question of this scenario. But I think that we need to say if you're going to ask communities to step forward and designate a site
and then
deliver through dialogue and a process in the decision-making process, and that somehow the decision is rendered beforehand.
Chairman, I
it says we're going to go out here because it's comfortable, it's the least objectionable, and we know we can get
it. Intention of bringing
then the last thing that convinced me was that yesterday there was comments made before a subcommittee. It said no decision had been made. But yet it was interesting they produced a map that had a footprint of where the facility was going
to
be located.
Integrate the operation.
They knew exactly what the infrastructure cost was going to be. They knew what everything was going to cost. But no decision had been made. That's amazing.
Taking into consideration
that's the most efficient government I've ever seen. They are mind readers and they can read what it's going to cost something. But no decision has been made.
And
I wish we had that efficiency in all state government.
Operation, but it
I think that's really the commitment.
and
so
many of the operations.
It really bothers me that we're being asked to say other funds.
So they are moving.
Well, other funds are still taxpayer money.
All down to that. A low country.
Whether it's paid for out of the right pocket or the left pocket.
That would also be treated.
Who pays for this?
And make it possible to
cities,
continue the
counties,
guest ranch operations
through an assessment.
It is not a
to fund this.
To characterize a dagger.
We're saying, oh, here's a perfect location.
In fact,
we can't do this expansion over in Monmouth. Let's just pick up and move the whole thing.
Irrigation costs.
It's interesting that Salem doesn't want any flattened prisons.
Prices,
because they don't want that type of economic activity in their community.
They
bring other economic activity to Salem. That's fine.
Operations for sometimes two and three generations.
And then I heard the argument that said, well,
pass it out with
people don't want to pick up in Monmouth and move to Sweet Home. Hey, you know, I heard that argument back in February or March or something when we were moving Fish and Wildlife to Salem. And somebody said, I work for the Fish and Wildlife in Portland. I don't want to move my office to Salem. I don't want to pick my house up and move to Salem. And now here we are moving the police academy to Salem, and somehow that's fine.
You're the lead off this time.
The Sweet Home is too far. I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions in this whole dialogue, in this process. The co-chair of Ways and Means on the House side, good Representative Ben said that he has a compromise. I don't know if it's a compromise. I'm more than listening to anything. But I think these communities have been asked to produce something, and they knew damn well that they weren't going to select these communities to begin with. And that is bad government policy. That's what the senator from Albany is talking about. And that's what we need to do, is make sure the integrity is involved in the process. That's my concern.
And
through discussion,
Senator Fernandez, Representative Hill.
I guess that the question I would have, and I think they'll answer it,
I think it's probably a better illustration
if we delay this, obviously
out,
it's going to cost more money. Would you agree with that?
What quantities and types
Chair and
of
committee members, it has the very great potential to increase the cost.
I want to be clear, though.
The question I have, and I think you answered it, will the outcome be different?
That we do not oppose or object to commercial interest.
And Chair and committee members, it is my opinion that the 2 months of refining the numbers would not delay it. There is work that could be done within the next
EFC zone range into Little Motel.
If the motion was slightly amended, I think there's been discussions to that effect. That would allow both the refinement of numbers the Senator Yee, Senator Hammond, and Representative Johnson have requested, and also allow some progress to be made that would not noticeably endanger the timing of the project. So I believe there is some middle ground here that could possibly allow for all answers to be given and progress still to be made.
And do we have
thank you, Mr. Speaker. Going into this, I basically didn't even understand what this was because no one had brought it to talk to me about this. It's a vitally important issue. I didn't track it during session, during this discussion. And, you know, coming into this, I had one email that I received yesterday morning, which I read before coming down. Sitting and listening to the agency plead their case, I was decidedly unimpressed in terms of the process that they had gone through on this. And so that's why I favored in terms of delay. I think the argument on the other side had some merit in terms of, you know, I've been in local government and I've sat around this property long enough to understand that, you know, if you want something in a certain place, there are ways to do it. And this is one of those decisions that was done. And I think in terms of, I don't understand the decision that was made during the session in terms terms of bringing this infamous process up, and maybe that decision was a bad process. We should have just driven forward and said, go out and build it over here. But when you have the agency sitting in front of you, telling you on the record that they have no idea where within this 1,000 tract piece of land this thing would be situated, but yet they were able to calculate on a cost basis that it was cheaper to get here versus these other things that were very specific in very specific areas. And then when asked, because they contradicted themselves on the record, and then when asked, well, if you have all this information, but yet you don't know where it is within this 1,000 acre parcel, how can you make these decisions? Then they rip open briefcases and produce, you know, large maps exactly where this thing is going to be, which made absolutely no sense to me. And so I think in terms of, you know, I'm happy to listen to a compromise on this and try to move forward on this, because the decision is it's going to be in Salem. You know, great, you know, let's just do it and be done with it. You know, and then figure out how we can apologize to the community of the Sweet Home and Caboose in terms of for the time and money and effort put forward in a process that wasn't fair, was never intended to be fair, and they had no intention of ever really considering them in the first place, which I think that's the unconscionable part of this process that I have seen, and there is absolutely zero remorse that I saw from the agency or any of the process, because for something that was so vitally important, it wasn't until I got a call from my sheriff, who was traveling, so somehow they figured out where he was in the world, you know, but he wasn't going to show up until late last night. So I never got to talk to him, but that's the only person from law enforcement, besides the email I got from the association on the day that we were here, to talk and discuss about this vitally important thing that had to go forward for the security of the state. I don't think 45 days of delay in information is going to cause an abject disaster in law enforcement. They've gone this long without this facility. The facility wouldn't even be in place and completed until 2004. I don't think 45 days of delaying in terms of financial decision of this
also
level is going to cause it to be delayed a full year, as the testimony was given yesterday. So that's my two cents. I'm happy to listen to the compromise the train's moving. Let's get done with it and figure out how to apologize to the community that wasted
this morning. Agricultural land in the state of Oregon, it would be irresponsible to permanently put these.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Discussion and evaluation of
there's no doubt yesterday the testimony and the discussion became rather emotional, rather heated. Certainly the concerns by the two representatives who had others concerned that they felt that their issues were not properly aired. I would think on the other side, testimony by the agency,
determination whether or not
because of those emotions from those opponents, I think maybe it was just a matter of not being prepared for it, but it was still, there was a lot of things that just did not come out. Mainly,
we still support the concept. We think
process
of
the committee. We were just trying to get through a lot of information on a lot of different issues, and
the bill that we
there was just not time to deal with this.
Not time to look at
I've been involved with
evaluation,
this citing process at the beginning of the session, the beginning of this year.
Not heard of any complaints
and
the bill
under, there was no time that I felt, where I was being
I think there's some
Salem or Monmouth being the proper site. There was no time up until
meeting
that it was there any indication
if
that Salem was even being considered as the number one site.
Wrong, I believe,
and even after that,
be 25 miles,
you know, all,
from the
at that point,
down.
That's when
three miles, I believe,
the sites were reduced down, I think, four different locations. And they prioritized the sites. And at that point, Salem was still leading. But, you know, there was evidence showing that every other site that was being looked at,
as well as our opinion on our policy,
all had qualities that, you know, could put them forward, given the further analysis that they
went through. Activity must be the major activity.
The idea that a final proposal was already drafted and in the works, I thought was addressed pretty clearly yesterday. There was concern that the agency was able to come up with different cost estimates for these different sites. And just the surprise that there were maps that were showing how the site could be configured with
We signed
the
project. Neutral,
like, you know, some decisions have been made
and actually
already, but this is what we're going to do.
Out the,
well,
sunset clause.
It was discussed, I thought, pretty well
with the Department of Agriculture
by the agency
and tourism,
that there is concepts that have to be looked at. I mean, you look at a site, you got to put the footprint. You've got to see where the buildings are going to go. You've got to see where the racetrack's going to go to see if it's going to work.
Worked on the clarifying,
and that's what they did. They put a concept together. And they looked at that concept, and they said, okay, here's how much it's going to cost.
We had not seen
and it's nothing
not exact.
I mean, they know, the estimates. And that's the idea,
so
is to get the approval now to go forward
comfortable that the
with this particular
that
site
in the measure in
to refine those concepts
tried to
and to say, okay, here's exactly what we're going to do,
fact,
and here's where the cost is going to be.
In conjunction with
and,
a bona fide
and that's all
commercial
all was looking at was just a simple analysis of the concept.
We're there. That was essentially done.
The concern
with
the that the community thinks that the rules
there
changed.
Were concerns
in
the ag community that the lower threshold
from a different perspective.
160 acres size was too small.
Every community, and I mean this went out statewide.
At this
every
point,
community had an opportunity
I would point
to
out
present
that, an oral report
present
was given
a piece
to
of property
Senate,
that they think is going to work.
Land use committee last
and,
session when the amendments went through.
Know,
at
the
that
different
time,
communities, you know, the finalists, you know, they all participated in that. They all did that.
Approved
and
when I
you know, ultimately they were told
the
site is not going
to
work. And they had reasons for it, whether it was the environmental issues
at that time.
Sweet Home.
I can tell you that three guest ranches had been approved under
property as well out in an EFU. Outside the UGB, I mean, there were different issues
County,
they had.
One in Baker
so
County,
now we hear, at least from Sweet Home, well, tell us,
I have received,
now, or give
no
us a chance
calls
to show you a different property.
Anyone
well,
indicating
that train's
any
already left the station.
With
and the property that,
that
they proposed got rejected.
Matter
and now we're through the process well enough. You know, that's just like
that
asking City of Medford
there
to come
are
in
already other
and give us a
smaller
site.
Type of,
and I know we'd have at least one member saying, yeah, maybe we'll have to be looking at Medford.
Breakfast type
so,
operations in farm zone currently. I don't have the numbers in front of me,
that's
but
that's right. That's right.
A great, a good deal.
He was on the record yesterday saying that he'd support a site in Medford.
More information, be glad to provide
so,
it.
So when you look at that,
look at the amendment,
say, okay, now we're ready to make this decision. Is there community support? Well,
these operations.
We had two public hearings in Salem, public meetings for the agency,
really
and I was at both of them. It was well attended,
and people are coming
and,
out to sort of work
and everybody looked at it and pretty much said, yeah, it's a good deal.
And
let's go ahead and go forward with it. Now, there was one part of the community that was not consulted, and that's the prison population. They chose not to go in there to see if they would agree to have the budget policeman sitting right next to him.
Required a report to the legislature. And then, from what I understand, just an oral report was given.
So, but it's a good site. Now, delaying this
requires a report.
One of my other concerns is
we require
is looking where we are in the economy.
Drafted.
From my perspective, there's very few things that the state can do to help provide some kind of stimulus to the economy. Here's something right now that we
Senator
get this approval.
We're
going to start bringing fewer jobs
to the
and whether it's Salem or elsewhere, I mean, the
when
fact is
came
that
back to the Senate
Salem site does have,
when we indicated earlier that there was no...
It's going to work better than the other two sites, or the three sites
that had occurred at that point, the committee...
And I agree with the LFO analysis. Nothing's going to change that decision.
And, could submit,
and
something
it's more important to me now to get some of this money basically out of the hands of government and into the private sector.
We could get
and
together with the Tourism Bureau and its project here.
The agency has nothing to apologize for. They followed the rules. They did what was right. And they came up with the right site. And it's important, in my opinion, that we just move forward,
was, Mr.
Chair, get this moving.
It was just you actually touched on it in your testimony, so I appreciate
Senator
that.
Senator had stated
I was
the
how many guest ranchers are
based
out
on
there,
the attacks,
and what's the nature of these guest ranchers.
And
so
the anthrax issues.
I'm appreciative of the testimony.
There's a number of departments
over the week
who are very poorly
in my file to
equipped
find
to deal with bioterrorism.
How many of them
here's
were out
one
there, and what was the nature
way right
of their
now
activity.
That, you know,
Mr. Chair, Senator Decker,
we can get this thing moving. We can expand to
the
16-week training program.
Late last week, I don't remember.
You know, this is going to have impact on that.
Scrambling
and I think it's important to
decisions
at
the spend
state
some time
to
over the weekend
have
trying
this thing
to
move forward.
Read up on them so I could address that.
Thank you.
Morning.
I'd like to speak for a moment.
And I have some other details on those.
I've got to tell you that I appreciate the advocacy on behalf of various communities. And coming from rural Oregon myself, that's something
that
I appreciate
the public hearing
very much. When the Women's Correctional Facility was being debated in the intake center, I had folks in Elgin who wanted that thing moved to Elgin to do some of the best jobs available in the community.
Open the public hearing on 21.
And these are good jobs. And coming from rural Oregon, it grates me somewhat to see continued investment.
I'd like
in
to
federal.
Ask Katie Case.
But I made some phone calls last night. Nobody called me. I called to the chief of police in LeGrand. And LeGrand submitted a bid to the pilot run to communities in my district. Good luck. And he and his fellows are unanimous behind citing this thing right here in Salem. We're all good will and deference to my colleagues.
Members of the
both other
for
sides
the
are just a longer drive.
Katie Kate, I represent the Oregon
it's already a 5-hour drive.
It's
something that Mr. Butler and I know have a special appreciation for.
From the Oregon
and the road is just as long going back the other way as it is coming down here.
There's also a
I
letter
think it's a mistake
from,
to delay this.
Some Central Oregon landowners, I believe there's about 90 landowners in the Central
here.
Oregon area.
We have a dire need to upgrade training here in the state.
By feral pigs
we are one of a handful of states that only provide 10 weeks of training
to
officers who must
about.
Go out there and put their lives on the line in defense
brief,
of peace and security.
Feral pigs are becoming a huge
in our ability
concern
to conduct their lives in an orderly fashion.
Central Oregon. Southern Oregon
we have
and
new threats
Southern
on the horizon
range.
That need to be addressed.
These
and
pigs
we could be better
are
prepared.
Destroying
colleagues
private
be
land,
prepared.
Federal land, and state land. They
so having
tear
said
up
that, there is a compromise that has been worked out.
High value wheat and other crop land.
And
they're also leaving quite a bit of
some
damage
items that could be
on
amended
riparian areas that our ranchers are sitting. It's quite a bit of
and I would appreciate your positive consideration
repair.
Of that. When Johnson, you wanted to say a word,
do the damage
to
our pasture land, there's also quite a bit of risk of weeds coming in and
Mr. Speaker,
and,
I would be happy to wait until after the
land.
Compromise is offered.
The ranchers in the areas are also concerned with the safety issues with feral pigs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
They will. If corners
I put this forward not
and
in,
many
well,
of the
like
ranches in the Central Oregon area do not have state and loss of some of the brush area there on their property out of rifle in a threat of flowers young that they'll be protecting.
The
we are also
like
concerned
ask,
with the spread of disease between feral pigs and our wildlife
correct.
And our cattle herds. It's a big concern to us, especially with the issues that we've been hearing
with
a lot of the wildlife.
The DPSST is authorized to spend the $550,000 in carryover funds for specific site selection work specific
to
the Salem
animal.
Site.
We have concerns
DPSST
that
will continue to work with
others
the other
might
sites
want to see them
classified
as a game animal, and this is not the way to manage them. They're not native
and we'll continue
to our land, and they need
to
be eradicated
right
as quickly as possible.
DPSST
And with that, I'll turn my testimony and be happy to answer any questions.
To request additional funds necessary to
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Hillary Abraham. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Conservancy of Oregon.
That's correct. Chair, committee members, the amendment to the motion would allow them to use an existing...
On the House Bill 2519 Medicaid waiver has been requested. However, much work remains to be completed. The VA intends to seek emergency board approval in January to submit the waiver to the subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report. And I would just say that sitting on the leadership committee all day to speak with the Senate President and other chairs of that committee, we heard a very speaking report from the waiver committee and the Senate committee at 1920 people. And we have a committee that's large. A lot of the things we heard the testimony on Tuesday are that like 90%
of the lady was entitled to a search warrant on her property, which she never got, and also her dog was destroyed before she had a chance to report for veterinarian.
Which is dental and vision.
And
we have
being
a lot of
done
people working for people out there that we would
yes,
like
sir.
To reach in this
and
new
it's
eligible
being that
group.
Way done today. I have the paperwork right here. And it's all for Clackamas County.
Not just the
they just passed a bunch of ordinances. They do a heck of a lot in county, but they don't have the word search warrant in their ordinances
for that
either.
Labor steering committee
so
to
what do you want them to do with search warrants?
Sure, it's in the law.
So what do you want them to do with search warrants?
I want the officer to get the search warrants before they remove the animals. They're allowed to come in the yard and take care of the animals.
So you want them to obtain a search warrant before they actually
there needs to be some kind of accountability for it. The whole issue here is it's
how would you expand?
I know, they came and got your dog.
Yes, sir.
They
said I was abusing my dog. He said in his affidavit, he said my dog was in direct sunlight. My dog had no air for circulation. In fact, my dog was underneath the carport and was
down
in a chain link fence.
To adjust.
That's the only allegation that the dog was in sunlight.
No, he said there was no water also, but he stood 18 feet away to take a picture of the water bucket. That's not tried to get these guys training because he took a picture underneath the carport that didn't even show the carport. So when he went to try to train, he wrote
about moving the line as to where we currently have it, like dental and vision, 90% of the private sector
minding his own business.
Insurance policies out there do
no,
not
this
provide
is comes to
if we look at
here
that,
is that they were after my roommate.
The waiver steering
so take
committee
your dog.
On Tuesday gave us a
you have to go get your tickets in court or at the dog pound.
That was a 20% hospital.
I think
okay.
I understand what you're trying to tell me. You want them to have a search warrant before they actually take the dog before they do that under extra circumstances.
No, well, extra circumstances. It says under extra circumstances that they need to have a search warrant in the bill as it is written
so
today.
So they would bear those costs anyway.
Okay,
so there's discussion
right?
About
yes,
reducing benefits.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. We're going to go ahead and adjourn just before we do.
There's also a proposal by
testimony, I guess, on Senate Bill 230 on the 22nd, Thursday, next week,
came and, testified
and Senate Bill 227, we will do the public hearing on Wednesday, the 21st. And with that, any other business to look at not
visits and that type of thing. So I think we have to look at all options as far as what needs to be done if we're going to add new eligible people to the plan. Is that...
Since you're a speaker, yes, it does, but my concern is that if we potentially face a reduction of several hundred million dollars in our state general fund budget, what options does that give us? And I understand that they're going to be back in January to seek authority to submit a waiver application. But commencing that was discussion made in the committee on the fact that we may not have a total focus of what our budget reduction options might be. And so it's kind of hard to submit an application for something with a great deal of uncertainty ahead of us.
And the department is going forward on the mandate from House Bill 2519. In all fairness to them, they are going forward with what we've legislatively instructed them to do. But the discussion of how they're going to do that and if they should proceed or what we're going to have to face in January in the way of cuts, that was not part of the Tuesday hearings we heard, nor was it yesterday, if I remember correctly, on the subcommittee. Maybe Representative Schrader could add if you...
We didn't, Schrader. Excuse me, Ms. Speaker, Senator Hanna. We did not discuss, you know, the implications of our statewide budget shortfall vis-a-vis the waiver. I think Senator Carno said it accurately. They're pursuing the process as we outlined during the legislative session, and there are two big alternatives, as I understand, out there. One is the higher copay issue, and the other is the reduction in services issue, and they're grappling with that at this point in time.
Mr. Speaker, the only reason I raise this in this report is that I appreciate my colleagues wanting to pursue this expansion of Medicaid waivers, but at the same time, we're looking at possible budget reductions. I think it would be a very cruel hoax to bring people into a system that we would subsequently wind up dropping off because of budget reductions. And I think we have to be careful that as we plan ahead in this, that we don't devise a method of expanding our arms of embracing more and more people only to start dropping them off along the wayside when budget reductions are having to be made later on. And so I only say that not as a dampener of a wet blanket, but as one that's saying, let's proceed, but let's proceed with somewhat caution, too.
Co-Chair Dershowitz.
Mm-hmm. Senator Metzger.
Okay, well, I'd have to tell you that this group needs to be better informed of what's taking place in this Medicaid application. The idea, and if you remember, on 2519, the idea was it would be revenue neutral, that we wouldn't add additional costs, and the savings would come from a couple areas. Number one, we would reduce services. Right now, what the governor has asked is that the services be reduced to a 56 to a 78% level of service. And the group that's set up to do that can't cut services. It just seems that it's impossible for them to reduce the level of service. And so their answer is to add copays. And we're going to add copays to people who can't afford the copays. And it's a real dilemma for them. And this body is going to have to approve those waivers. And with the present direction they're going, I certainly am not going to recommend that we approve the waivers the way they have them written up. They've got to be able to reduce the level of service. The Medicaid program that we provide is a very rich program, much richer than most working poor people where employers are paying for the service, can't provide those services. And if we don't reduce the level of service and we just end up adding copays to the system, I don't think that I would recommend that we go that direction. So they have a lot of work to do. And Senator Hannan talked a little bit about we're in an area of trying to reduce budgets. Right now, I think the report we got, there's 18,000 more people that have applied to the Oregon Health Plan than had been anticipated. They had anticipated the increase, but there's 18,000 more than it was anticipated. So that system is going to be really overburdened with the request for services. My understanding is that it's going to be difficult to get the waivers back in Washington, D.C. if we don't expand the program. So it's going to be a real dilemma for us to really work through this program. And I would ask you all to become a little more involved in it, because we are going to have to approve those waivers before they are applied for. So a little bit of a heads up, I think the direction that the group is going to provide the waiver recommendation is got a long, long ways to go before they're going to get to where I think the leadership commission or the group committee is going to say, this is the way we need to go.
Further discussion, Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think Senator Hannah and Senator Durfler has pretty well outlined some of the struggles there. I'm a legislative member on the Medicaid Waiver Application Steering Committee, and we have been struggling with a lot of these issues. We actually haven't got to a point of what that waiver is going to be because of all the points that you brought out. I think the admonition of the president to, you know, to help be involved in that issue is important because we have a lot of certifiably smart people from all parts of the industry on there, and we're struggling with trying to come up with what we need to do. The challenge is very, very large, primarily because of two things. Number one, the current waiver, which allows us to operate the Oregon Health Plan, is going to expire. So part of the whole application with 2519 is to be able to continue to service people because under our current system, you know, that will no longer be operative unless we come up with a new plan. Secondly, I think Senator Durfler pointed out very well, the direction from CMS is very clear that if you're going to approve a way in which the state wants to manage its low-income population for health care, is that to have this approved, it does have to involve some type of expansion. And that is the dilemma we face with declining budgets, and obviously is going to require reducing benefits, trying to find out other ways to have cost shared, and struggling with the ideas of cost shifting as opposed to cost sharing, you know, and being able to put together a waiver that will not just on paper, you know, make sense, but in reality will work for providers and make sure that they are engaged in the program. So it is a struggle. It has been very, very, very difficult, but it's something that we have to do if we're going to be able to save what is basically the Oregon Health Plan. But coming up with that answer has been difficult. So, and I'd be happy, you know, to talk to any individual member about where we are and some of the huge conflict we're facing, and your advice would be helpful on that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion?
Seeing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, the motion subcommittee is adopted. Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the plan for delivery of fetal alcohol syndrome services. The report indicates the department will strengthen and reinforce training of health and social service providers, provide outreach and education to the public, provide appropriate screening of pregnant women as well as infants and children for alcohol and drug issues, and establish and refine data collection. A timeline for specific goals and objectives is included in the report. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report, and the subcommittee commends the department for a well thought out plan and implementation of two pilot projects within existing resources.
Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Clarnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on gender equity in substance abuse treatment programs. The DHS alcohol and drug abuse programs is responsible for planning, contracting, and regulating Oregon's public alcohol and drug treatment and prevention programs. DHS contracts with county governments and local providers for the delivery of alcohol and other drug services throughout the state. Counties are given latitude with the funding they receive, and DHS attempts to avoid interference with local provider selection so long as they contract with state-approved providers. 10 years ago, residential treatment programs served primarily male clients, nearly 80%. Currently, there is nearly equal split between males and females in the program. There are 487 residential alcohol and drug treatment beds funded with state funds. Of these beds, 53 are considered dependent beds. If local assessment indicates the need for additional dependent beds, the county government is able to allocate resources to accommodate the need, including beds for fathers with children. DHS will continue to monitor the use of beds by gender. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of this report.
Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Dixon, hearing none, so ordered. Good minutes.
Morning. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on the distribution of alcohol and drug abuse prevention enhancement funds. The Department of Human Services was directed to develop a distribution formula to distribute prevention funds to counties and present a proposed formula to the Emergency Board. The intent of the proposed distribution formula is to ensure that each county and tribe in Oregon has adequate funding for at least one full-time prevention coordinator, currently estimated to cost $95,000 per biennium. If base funding for the county or tribe is less than the targeted $95,000, these additional prevention funds will be used to make a difference. As a result of this formula, $764,274 will be distributed to 9 tribes, and $58,584 will be distributed to 5 rural counties. The remaining $177,000 will be used to provide training and technical assistance to local prevention groups. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report.
Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report. Is there any discussion? Any objection? The objection from the right over here?
Water cooler discussion.
Water cooler discussion. Is there any objection to acknowledging receipt of the report? Hearing none, so ordered. Lieutenant Schrader.
Hey, Mr. Speaker. Department of Human Services. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of a report on workforce development issues. DHS was directed through a budget note to develop a quality improvement measure that establishes baseline and goals addressing the percentage of provider treatment staff that are currently licensed or certified in the Office of Alcohol and Drug Use. DHS was to report to the Emergency Board on this plan and the potential use of a sliding scale reimbursement that encourages and rewards level of certification for providers. DHS is proposing an alternative. That would be a requirement that all drug and alcohol counselors be certified by July 2004. The report also indicates that a majority of providers already offer salary incentives for counselors to meet certification requirements and or advance their certification from one level to the next. Implementing a state-mandated sliding scale to reimbursement program based on the percent of provider staff that meet certification requirements would not only be difficult, but could potentially require additional resources. It appears that once the certification requirement is implemented by July 2004, the concerns and the raised will be addressed. Your subcommittee recommends acknowledging receiving the report.
Subcommittee recommends acknowledging receiving the report. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board defer action on the request to allocate $1 million from the special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for community-based mental health system planning. The 2001 legislature passed House Bill 3024, which required local mental health authorities to develop comprehensive community-based plans for mental health services. The local plans are due to the Department of Human Services on March 1, 2002. A $7.5 million special purpose appropriation was established to implement the legislation. $1 million was earmarked to help pay for planning costs, and $6.5 million was to help fund services in conjunction with the local plans. The subcommittee expressed their support for the local planning effort, but agreed that a funding decision should be deferred until the next meeting of the Emergency Board. The state's overall budget status and plans to deal with the budget situation should be clearer at that time. The subcommittee acknowledged that the delay will complicate counties' ability to meet the March 1, 2002 due date for the plans, even if funding is allocated at a later date. However, that statutory deadline cannot be changed by Emergency Board action. I recommend that we defer the $1 million allocation until a later date.
So the committee's recommendation is that we defer. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Clark.
I think this was a very difficult decision for many of us who recognize that they have a date out there, a mandate of a date, and the E-Board can't change the date, and that we have to remember when March comes that we've got to be especially thoughtful about the fact that they wanted to go forward and prepare the information that we've long awaited. So this, in addition to what we did with the safety net funding, was difficult for this committee.
I would concur with Senator Connell's comments that folks are in the process of planning, and they do need the funds. These are very difficult decisions. And they aren't decisions that I undertake lightly. I know that the subcommittee shares that sentiment. The subcommittee, is there further discussion? The subcommittee recommends deferral. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? There are no objections ordered. Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Department of Human Services. Your Subcommittee on Human Services recommends approving the submission of four federal grant applications by the department. First grant opportunity is set up for $50,000 per year for 4 years and is offered by U.S. Department of Health and Human Services as part of the Healthy Tomorrows Partnership for Children. If awarded, the Department of Human Services would establish a pilot consultation system to support child care providers in meeting the needs of children in their care with complex behavioral or physical health issues. No state matching funds are required in the first year of the grant. During the second through fifth years, a match equaling twice the federal grant award or a maximum of $100,000 per year is required. The local communities doing the pilot projects would be required to provide matching funds of up to $20,000 the first year for a public health nurse and up to $25,000 per year thereafter. So matching funds will come from local communities, foundations, and in-kind contributions. The second grant opportunity is also from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services for $194,157 divided among three proposed projects. If awarded, the Department of Human Services proposes to report outcomes of some programs with the Oregon Health Plan by analyzing data gathered from clients in the Portland Target Cities project. There's no matching fund requirement. Contractor using minimal state resources would complete most of the work. The third grant opportunity is from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for implementation of recent amendments to the Clean Water Act. Grant provides up to $50,000 to develop standards and procedures for monitoring waterborne pathogens in beach and recreation areas. The Department of Environmental Quality will do preliminary sampling and work with the Department of Human Services to develop standards. We'll also work with government partners to determine how best to notify the public of hazards, coordinate closures if water quality is impaired, and develop a plan for ongoing water quality monitoring. No matching funds are required, and no additional staff, except an intern, would be required. The fourth grant opportunity is offered by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We'll provide up to $20,000 to fund the Healthy People 2002 conference, scheduled in May 2002 in Portland. The conference is targeted to policymakers and medical professionals involved in multicultural health issues throughout the state. No matching funds are required. DHS will also seek contributions from other partners for the conference. Applications for these grants are due in December. The Subcommittee on Human Services recommends approving submission of these four federal grant applications.
Subcommittee recommends approving the request. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Carnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board approve changes to the Oregon Medicaid reimbursement system for community-based care services used in the development of the department's 2001-03 biennial budget. ORS 410.555 requires the Medicaid long-term care quality and reimbursement Advisory Council to issue a written advisory recommendation to the Department of Human Services concerning any proposed change or modification to the Oregon Medicaid reimbursement system for long-term care services with a fiscal impact greater than $100,000. Before it can implement a change, the department must submit the council's written recommendation to the Legislative Assembly or Emergency Board and obtain approval. Although the 2001 Legislative Assembly passed a DHS budget that incorporated the Medicaid long-term care reimbursement modifications, the Assembly never received the required written recommendation from the Council. As a consequence, DHS is submitting the Council's recommendation and seeking approval of three system changes in its emergency board request. The system changes affect residential care facilities and adult foster homes. In short, the Council's recommendation supports the system changes. In addition, the 2001 Human Services Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means discussed the reimbursement system changes extensively and incorporated the changes in the DHS 2001-03 biennial budget. The subcommittee recommends approval.
Is there any discussion? Any objections? Not, and we approve the modification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The subcommittee recommends that the emergency board acknowledge receipt of a report on the interim structure of the public policy dispute resolution program with instructions. The commission was directed to report on the interim structure for the program while a long-term plan was developed. The commission presented a plan to continue the program at the governor's recommended budget level. The program would be funded with $422,000 in filing fees, surcharge revenue, funds transferred from DAS and ODOT, and a one-time $399,284 general fund appropriation. The plan also included 5 permanent positions to support the program. The long-term direction was to develop a program that does not rely on the general fund. The subcommittee directed that the commission return to the next meeting of the emergency board with an interim plan that supports this direction. The subcommittee recommends acknowledging receipt of the report with these instructions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The question is acknowledge receipt of the report. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, we will accept the report. We'll go to Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Education Subcommittee unanimously recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of the report on the Department's 2001-03 business plan. Direct the Department to continue to search for ways to advance the startup date for the second recruit school in an effort to eliminate mid-biennium sworn staff shortages, and direct the Department to provide a follow-up business plan report when it reports to the Emergency Board in April 2002 on the results of an internal organizational review. The business plan relies upon various management actions to mitigate approximately $2.3 million in problems. The plan does not rely heavily on sworn positions being held vacant, but due to anticipated retirements and the timing of 2 planned recruit schools, the Department will not be able to meet legislatively established sworn service levels in patrol and criminal services during portions of the 2001-03 biennium. To fully execute the business plan, the Department will probably have to submit a rebalance plan, but does not plan to do so until later in the biennium. The business plan will have to be modified if the Department is directed to further limit general fund expenditures as part of the governor and legislature's plan to address the 2003 revenue shortfall. The subcommittee directed the Department to continue to search for ways to improve sworn staffing levels and to provide a follow-up business plan report to the Emergency Board in 2002 when it presents the results of an internal organizational review. The subcommittee unanimously recommends the Emergency Board acknowledge receipt of the report.
The recommendation of the subcommittee is to acknowledge receipt of the report with some further direction. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Accept the report and give the call to Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Education Subcommittee recommends the Emergency Board defer the request for an additional $915,000 other funds capital construction expenditure limitation until the next Emergency Board meeting and direct the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to work with local officials to meet for the 4 finalist locations over the next 2 months to further refine infrastructure and other site-specific cost estimates. This action is recommended to address concerns expressed in subcommittee by representatives from the Sweet Home and Scappoose areas. We believe the site comparison information that was developed thus far and relied upon to select a state-owned site in Florida may be inaccurate or incomplete. The Education Subcommittee recommends deferral of the request.
Okay, the subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Deferral.
Yes. Oh, I got to prove it. Okay. So it's a deferral. So we're going to have some discussion, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do not support the deferral of this request. I understand the certain issues that are involved, and certainly credit, you know, the individuals supporting areas for a siting. But I think we need to look at the bigger picture. Number one, the state of Oregon is behind in providing the additional training that is very, very important for our public safety officers. And since 1997, we made this a top commitment. It is necessary to have this facility online as soon as possible so that all public safety agencies around the state will be able to have the ultimate training to meet the needs of the citizens of the state. You know, delaying this is only going to delay that process and make its future uncertain as to when that will actually take place. Secondly, and I think there's no question with the events of September that this is even more on people's mind. And I think that is it's a public safety priority that we have this facility up and running as soon as possible and that all agencies have that expanded coverage. Secondly, or thirdly, we have been deferring a lot of requests of this emergency board, but they're because of a commitment that we've made to defer general funds until we have a chance to look at the big picture. This does not fit that category. This is not a general fund allocation, and it is another fund's expenditure limitation. I think the overriding public necessity and the needs of the public safety of the state, with due respect to people fighting for their districts, and I have great respect and appreciate that, I do think the overriding public demand is to move forward on this. And finally, Mr. President, I do not believe that delaying this is going to be fiscally wise. I cannot believe that costs will not accelerate if we continue to decelerate the process.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
We do not disagree with the need for the academy. But on the other hand, the siting process needs to be fair, open, and unbiased. And the Salem site has been moved around to meet the department's requirements, while the other sites did not have that opportunity. The change of site was done without public knowledge and without notice of public meeting. I think we should have a fair process for all the sites who are bidding to be cited have the same opportunities to present their case. Why should one side be presented under the best case scenario while the other side